Today's gospel is from the 13th chapter of Matthew, verse 31 to 33, and then verse 44 to 52. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in its fields. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated, and there's a little bit that I forgot to read, so I'll continue with that. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been able to climb to the top of a mountain or even just the top of a hill, somewhere where you can get a good view? You know, it's amazing around here to do some hiking, because when we lived in Montana or Minnesota, first of all, no mountains to speak of. Some little hills by Duluth, right? But no real big mountains in Minnesota. But in Montana, when you're hiking on the west side of Glacier Park, you have to hike through a lot of trees. Same goes for hiking in Hawaii. It's so forestry, you don't see the view until you get further up on the trail. Here, you can see the views right away. It's so uplifting. If you want to have a little bit of a challenge, just here north of town, or what that direction, west of town, would be Darrell Canyon Trailhead. And there's a trail called the Western Loop. At the top of that Western Loop, you get to an overlook that looks over the whole valley and above Fountain Hills. And if you're really inspired, you can go a little bit higher, and there's a place you can sit at the very tippy top of that mountain. You can rest there and get perspective and inspiration. Just a few weeks ago, if you could switch to this one, Darlene. A few weeks ago, we were at the Grand Canyon, and this is our, is it connecting? Oh, it's there. It's not back there. Okay. we were at the Grand Canyon, and it's such an inspiring thing to be somewhere where you can look out, right? And see such a grand view. You know, even if you pulled off alongside the road somewhere and got a vista, it's inspiring to stop and just take it all in. We continue along in our series on Romans, which is When in Rome, called Living Out the Gospel. And we're in the last section of chapter 8. Really, as Nicky Gumbel puts it, is the Mount Everest of the Bible, at least of the New Testament. And last week, I ended with the reality that much of our lives, kind of because of what happens to us and what's happening all around us, feels like a groan, maybe even more of a groan than a joy. We are in the weeds, as I described last week, as Jesus tells about the parable of the weeds. But as we read on today's section, Paul doesn't leave us groaning. In fact, this life is not just about our horizontal relationships, is it? It's not just about the things that are happening around us. He encourages us to lift our eyes to the vertical. He shares this verse. Let's read together. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, it goes on, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind and of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I think that says the stronger our spirit, or the weaker our spirit actually, the stronger His support. The weaker our spirit, the stronger His support. As we were spent our time last week or a week ago in Minnesota, we got to go to an indoor adventure park. It was awesome. It's great for our grandkids and grandparents too. We had some fun there. But there's slides and trampolines and rock climbing and challenge courses. And the main section is this kind of maze that you work your way through to get to a slide and some other elements. And my 7-year-old Jack just attacked every challenge with gusto. And I walked around and here he is doing this monkey bar challenge where he climbed all the way across from kind of far, all the way across on monkey bars and made it the entire way. Now, monkey bars was never my strong suit. In fact, I was so commending him for doing that because pull-ups are hard. Do you agree? It's hard. Pull-ups are hard. And when I joined a gym, I found out something really wonderful is that they have assisted pull-ups where you can put some weight in and then you can do a pull-up, but actually you don't have to pull your whole weight of your body up because the weight of the machine helps assist you. You can do that with a band as well. And that really, I think, describes what Paul is saying here when he says, we are weak, but the weaker our spirit, the stronger His support. We may only have 10% to give. But if all we feel we can do in praying is to groan, but the Spirit intercedes for us and brings us to 100, He compensates with 100%. And that is such an encouragement. So you can see why this chapter is bringing us like to the pinnacle of Mount Everest. And the section keeps going. Verse 28. And we know that in all things, God will work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Now, there's some really key words in this passage. First of all, it says, we know. This isn't just something that we might think or something that we aren't quite sure of. We know is a promise to claim with confidence. We know that all things, not some things, not partially this good thing or this bad thing, cannot work for good, but all things, it says, can work for the good. So not for evil, but for good. All things work for the good for those who love God. This informs us that the Lord uses everything that enters our lives to work together for our best interest. Now, trusting in that promise takes a great deal of faith. And you don't have to arrive there right away, though. The trials and turmoils in our lives overwhelm us. And when some things in our lives are spinning out of control, this reminds us to trust in God's providence and that He knows the outcome, which is for good. But when we're in the midst of trouble, in the midst of grief, in the midst of sorrow, it's hard to see God's handiwork. So maybe initially we kind of reject this and say, well, that's true for everybody else, but it definitely can't be true for this situation. But then as we mature in faith, our concept of God enlarges. And we begin to see that on the other side of trouble, God is good. And finally, we realize it's true, this statement. When Chris's mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, she fought hard to get rid of those destructive cells in her body and lost the battle when she was only 71 years old. And Chris, then without a mother at 33. And I'm without a mother-in-law at 34. And our kids will never really get to know their Grandma Clarice. It was next to impossible for us to say in that moment, oh, God is good. Isn't it wonderful that he took away our mother and mother-in-law? It made us question God, his sovereignty and life. It made us question our life. And it made us question his power. But finally, as we wrestled with that for quite a while, we just realized that we just as well cooperate with God and trust him, even though we don't understand this terrible thing that happened. All of our lives, everything that happens to us is redeemable. And that is such, such good news. Back to chapter 8, where we're walking up to the summit of Mount Everest. It says in verse 31, what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Actually, the if in that statement, you might go, if God is for us? Does that mean he's not completely for us? Or is it a conditional promise? It actually shouldn't imply doubt, but better confidence. It'd be better to say, since God is for us, who can be against us? Because that's exactly what this means. God is for us, so who can be against us? And Paul goes on to write about, how do we know this? Well, he gave us his son Jesus. And we know that he lived, that he was born, that he lived, that he did miracles, that he was suffered. He died on the cross and he rose again. He gave us his son, is what Paul reminds us of. And we are God's chosen ones because of what Jesus did and what we receive by faith. It goes on to ask the question, then what do we say about these things? Since God is for us, who is against us? And then it goes on in verse 35 to say this. Let's read it together. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And then this little verse that kind of is a little off-putting. It says, we face death all day long. It's like Paul is saying, do you think that any of these things can separate you from the love of God? Ha! That's a bad joke. That's absolutely impossible. That would be to say when times get tough that Jesus abandons us. And then he gives this verse, we face death all day long. For your sake, we are being killed all day. Now, another way of saying that is, as believers in God, we don't get a pass on pain or suffering. But what we do get is the Lord who suffered for us and suffers with us. Anything we go through, have gone through, or will go through, Jesus has already experienced firsthand, and we can be assured of his consolation. The second half of verse 36 always puzzled me. It says, we are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. So that whole verse together is this. We face death all day long. For your sake, we are being killed all day long. And then it says, for we are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. In other words, as I've thought about this, the devil and all the things that come at us, all the things that assail us, consider us already beaten. We're an easy target. We have no resilience, no courage. We just roll over and die. At least that's what they think. Which leads me to a little trivia question right here in the middle of this message. And it's this. What animal will overwhelmingly conquer? And I have four options for you. Is it a lion? A hippo? They're really mean, I hear, hippos. A Tyrannosaurus Rex? Or a lamb? Or a sheep? Well, before you answer, let me tell you the next verse, which says, first it says, we are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. And then verse 37 says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. To that question, what's the strongest? Sheep, lamb, exactly. Sheep, it says that we are sheep to be slaughtered, and we are also conquerors through him who loved us. Sheep are the overwhelming conquerors to all forms of opposition. The Bible calls us sheep, right? And we think that might not be very flattering of humanity, but it kind of fits us, doesn't it? We're easily afraid. We're easily scattered. We need a lot of reassurance. We need the calming voice of our shepherd. But because of all that, we are more than conquerors. This passage says, the victory has already been secured for those who have accepted Christ as their Savior. And now we reach the highest point of chapter 8 in this magnificent passage. It could be like the pinnacle of Mount Everest. And it tells us that we can derive our hope, our courage, and our solace, no matter what we experience, because we are more than conquerors and we are secure in Christ's love. Let's read it together. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. That is a life-transforming perspective, right? No surprise that this verse is commonly declared at Christian funerals. That confidence we have in Christ is sure. Now, I don't think of anyone here, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, no one here in the room or even listening, maybe online listening, has summited Mount Everest. Am I correct? Or does someone have some really great story to tell right now? Well, we haven't. So it might be hard to picture that particular summit. But I want you to picture again that place that you have seen. Maybe it is atop of one of the mountains around here, or some view from home or where you grew up, or something that is really, really special to you, where you could go and sit and gain perspective and look around and reflect on God's power and his love. I want you to picture that view and think about two things. First of all, the Gospels today, where Jesus says over and over again that the kingdom of heaven is like this. You sell everything for one pearl that's of value. You'll give it all because it's so important, this knowledge of knowing the Lord and experiencing his love. And I also want you then to think about that idea of giving it all to God and then reflecting on this verse to be secure in it. So do you all have a picture of where you're going to do that reflecting right now in your mind? If you're having a hard time, you can just look out the window, actually. That's a good view. And now I want you to just gently close your eyes and name in your life a trouble. Something that's troubling you right now. Could be a relationship, a health concern, a trouble, a worry, a distress. And then I want you to know and realize these words. Death, life, angels, rulers, things present, things come, nor no powers, height, depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. So name that trouble and then just release it in your hands and give it to the Lord. As you're reminded that nothing can separate us from His love. Nothing can separate us from Christ's love. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Now that practice is not something you can only practice here in church, obviously. But when you're outside, when you're sitting on a bench, when you're, you know, even looking out the window when it's 117 degrees, you can allow God to have that trouble, that brokenness, that sin, and remind yourself that nothing can separate us from His love. I want to conclude with this prayer from the book of worship. Let us pray. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give to your servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that by you, we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, this prayer is a beautiful. It reminds us that everything we want, everything that we hope to achieve, actually is given to us, all the good things, from your Spirit, from you. Lord, you give us a peace that we cannot get anywhere else. Lord, give us the desire to follow you. And because we are defended from those things that would assail us, those enemies, those troubles, Lord, you give to us love, confidence, security, in knowing that we can pass our time in a calmness of spirit, in the rest that comes from you, in the quietness of your love, because of all that Jesus did for us. So, Lord, may we bring this promise, chapter 8 of Romans and this pinnacle verse, into our lives more fully, even memorize it, and remind ourselves whenever troubles come our way that nothing at all will ever be able to separate us from your love in Christ Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.